Let's hear the word of God, Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 2. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I also ask you, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Back in 1977, there was a woman in Chicago. Her true name was Kathleen Nelson Coley. She was a 50-something-year-old woman who lived in a two-room, very squalid apartment in Chicago. And she spent her time digging through dumpsters, looking for food and trash. You know, she would pick up half-used cigarettes off the street and smoke them. And her nickname was Garbage Mary, as you might expect. And it happened as she was doing this one day, a police officer saw her and was concerned. And so he picked her up and took her to a psychiatric hospital for evaluation to see if she was all there mentally. And as they did that, they also sent officers over to her apartment to see what it was like. And they were amazed in the filthy mess that was her apartment as they searched through it, that they found stocks and bank books that were worth well over $1 million and made the national news. It seems she was a daughter of a wealthy banker downstate. And so she had great financial resources available to her. She could buy as many packs of cigarettes as she wanted if she wanted to do that. She had no need to eat food thrown away, half moldy, half putrid. She could go to the best restaurant in town and order the fanciest meal on the menu. How sad to see someone who could have the best, who deliberately chooses that which is horrifying, that which is undesirable, that which is polluting, as she did. As Christians, we run that same possibility of doing the same sort of thing with our minds. Because we have an opportunity, we have available to us the best of food for our minds. And there's no limit to how much good stuff we can put into our minds. Or we can choose, like Garbage Mary did, to put trash in there, to put things into it that are suitable only for the trash bin. And these verses that we're looking at tell us to develop a Christian mind, to feast your brain, your heart, on what is best, not to be like Mary, who filled it what was purified, putrid, and destructive. And so the first point as we look at these verses is to guard your mind. Verse 8, be careful what you put into your mind, what you think about. And what should it be? What's the standard of how we should think, how we should develop our minds? What should we focus our attention on as we think about our thoughts? Well, it's laid out here for us very clearly. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just or right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable or of good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, Christians are called upon to think about these things, to think them over. And in the English, we get the word logic from that Greek word. And it really means to ponder, to give proper weight and value to certain things, to allow your appraisal of what you're thinking about, the logic of it, to influence how you act, how you live your life. And so think deeply about these things that are true, the things that are honorable, and the things that are right and good. And I picked that word guard, picking it up from verse 7, where it talks about the God of peace, guarding your heart and mind in Christ Jesus, because it's a very picturesque word of what we're to do. We're to guard our minds. We're to let in certain things and keep out certain things. And Paul, as he writes, and as he uses that word in verse 7, would understand what it means. And it really has the idea of garrison, have a wall around it that's guarded. And in prison, only certain ones are allowed in. You know, I'm allowed in to see a prisoner on death row. But not everybody is able to get in. If you go to Terre Haute prison and say, hey, I want to go out and talk to somebody up on death row, they'll say, no way. You didn't have permission. There's a whole long procedure of background checks and other things to get in, to see. They're garrisoned. Not everyone is allowed in. And in fact, very few are allowed to get in. And even Paul in prison, not everybody could come into the prison. It would be closely guarded. And that's the picture, is that our minds are to be like that citadel that's guarded, that only certain things are allowed in and certain things are kept away. And the things that are allowed in are defined in verse 8, the things that are true and lovely and of good reputation. The scientists have estimated that the average person thinks about 10,000 separate thoughts each day. In some way, that means that you have 10,000 decisions each day of what are you going to think about. And some would be pretty mundane, driving down the highway when you have to turn your turn signal on and that sort of thing. But a lot of time, it's free time. And what are you going to put into your mind? And that becomes crucial. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. What you think about makes you who you are. What you allow into your mind, what you think about constantly, what you daydream about, is going to be an indication of the type of person you are. Truly, and it's going to come out. And in computing, I think they have a term, ego. Garbage in, garbage out. The computer can't produce anything better than what's put into it. Well, these verses are suggesting to us godliness in, godliness out. What you see and read and what you think about will have an impact. And if you're focusing on godly things, lovely things, honorable things, then that will be what will come out of your heart and out of your life. And there's a scandal in many Christian churches today of members whose minds don't do this, who don't focus on these things, who focus on all sorts of things that they shouldn't be, who are watching or reading things that pollute the mind rather than uplift the mind and the soul and the body. They have really no God-honoring thoughts, no focus on Christ and things that are glorious. Rather, they're like Mary who feast on garbage. We have the resources available to us as Christians today for our minds to focus us on what is excellent, what is praiseworthy. And it really begins with the Word of God, the Bible. You know, fill your minds with God's Word. Do it daily. Emphasize reading through. Read through the Bible. Make it your goal to write it through this year. Have those times of daily devotions, family devotions, that time when you get that Word. If you want to know what is lovely and true, go to the Word of God. And as we sing the Psalms, it's a great way of, again, focusing on that Word. And I know a number of you go around humming and singing to yourself. What better thing to sing than God's Word? And to be singing it through the day. Encourage you to memorize and meditate on God's Word. And especially focusing upon Jesus Christ. Lay hold of Him as He's presented to us in the Word. Bring Him to mind throughout the day as you face the challenges. So that you're thinking of God, you're thinking of Christ. I encourage you to read good Christian books as well. We have a book table, and one of the reasons is so that we have good materials available to help us to understand God. It'll help us understand the nature of God, the practical theology. You know, what does it mean to be a Christian parent and raise your children the right way that assists you in terms of spiritual growth? It'll biographies that challenge us with their examples of Christian living and Christian commitment. Those things can all be a resource in developing a Christian mind of thinking on things that are lovely and true and beautiful. And the other side is to starve your mind, to shut out those thoughts that are just the opposite. And too much, we can be occupied with wrong type of thinking, and we can pick it up in all sorts of places. Turn on the TV, movies, newspapers, the internet, romance novels, lots of types of music, Facebook. You know, too often these things are filled with wrong thoughts. And I'm not trying to suggest that you should never watch a TV show or go to a movie or read a newspaper. But those things all need to be done with discernment. To be sure that what's coming in, what they're thinking about is good. And if you're discerning, I think there'll be times when you're going to turn something off. Or you're going to read the first 5 pages of the book and say, this is trash. And rather than spending the next 3 hours reading it, you're just going to put it aside and say, I'm going to find something better. I don't want these ideas in my mind. We could actually turn verse around and say, whatever is untrue, whatever is unlovely, whatever is unrighteous, whatever is impure, dishonorable, of bad reputation, worthy of scorn, refuse to think about them. If you want a Christian mind, if you want to develop your mind in Christian ways, you'll avoid these things. And so there will be certain books, certain websites, certain TV shows, certain daydreams, certain magazines, and I think even certain vacation spots that you're going to refuse to indulge in. Because of this. The second point, as we go on to verse 9, is we're to live it out. We're to put these things into practice. The things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And so it's not just good enough to know about these things, but you need to put it into practice, just as the apostle did. As mature Christians do, they live it out. And it's just a reminder to us that the Bible is not given us to satisfy our curiosity. For example, you know, how was the world created? It does tell about that, but just isn't for the sake of we know how it was done. Or to fill our minds with knowledge so that if we happen to be on jeopardy and the Bible category is up or a new Old Testament, you know, we run the category and, whoa. Now, we're told about these things, like the creation of the world, so we'll realize who the Creator is, so to be humbled by it, so that we bow down and worship Him, so that we act differently because we know the Scripture and we know it teaches certain things. And so it's an active call here, just as the apostle lived differently because he'd been changed by the gospel, so are we. And when your mind is filled with God, is filled with Jesus Christ, is filled with that which is lovely and pure and good, your life will change. You will live in a different way. For some of that, this might mean you need to find someone to hold you accountable to say, well, what have you read in the Bible lately and how has that changed your life? Or what's your internet usage like? And are you staying away from certain things and certain thinking? In verse 6, we're given a very practical example. You're facing a difficult situation. Perhaps it's just a small incident, something small in your life, or maybe it's something huge. And it's a concern to you. It could be money pressures. It could be health. It could be an aging parent and caring for them. It might be a child who's turning out rebellious, or might be looking at the global picture, the state of society, or what's going on in the world, or maybe a lack of job, or just maybe feeling a general malaise. And people faced with these things are often filled with worry and paralyzed with anxiety. They're stressed out. They have panic attacks. Their blood pressure goes up. They have insomnia at night, even have ulcers or a heart attack. What do you do when you think rightly? When you've been filling your mind with those things that are good and lovely and pure and right, when you've been thinking your mind, filling your mind with God and His ways and those things that are pleasing to Him. Well, we see here. First, you don't worry. You're anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. We're to put those worrisome thoughts out of our minds. Now, does that mean that we're to go around and pretend to each other that, you know, I don't have any concerns and you don't have any concerns and everything is great and everything couldn't be better? Now, it's not saying that to us, but it's saying learn how to deal with them. When you've had a setback, when you've had a health problem or whatever it is, you're not to dwell on it. You're not to worry about it. You're not to overindulge yourself on it. But what are you to do? Well, the other side is in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God. And so instead of taking it on yourself and feeling overwhelmed with the situation and what the problem is, and maybe it's a small thing, or maybe it's a great thing, but you're burdened by it, instead of doing that, you entrust it to God. You look to God to take care of that problem. In prayer, anxiety is resolved by trusting God. This is His issue to deal with in my life. And when we thank Him in the midst of that, we're saying, I understand that an all-wise and all-powerful and loving God has brought this circumstance into my life for my good. And I don't have to be afraid of the situation. I don't have to be worried about the situation. I don't have to be torn up on the inside because of it. I can actually give thanks that this is part of God's purpose for me. And He is doing something in me because of that, and I'm thankful for this situation rather than upset with it. Indeed, if you tend to be prone to worry, I would suggest that the first thing you might do is to memorize Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So that whenever you realize you're having some anxious thoughts, you would recite Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. You know, Bill, don't be anxious. What are you to do? Let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. So I would do that. That you would do that. This is how we develop a Christian mind, a Christian response. That instead of worrying, we pray. Instead of grumbling, we give thanks. And the third point we need to see from this passage is that when you do these things, when you develop a Christian mind, when you diligently garrison your mind so that you let in those things that are biblical, those things that are honorable, and you reject what is trash. When you pray with thanksgiving instead of worrying, the third point is you can expect to see God's blessing on you. And there are two very precious promises in these verses that God gives to us. The first is found in verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, that we can't understand, that we can't fathom, but it is there. And we can experience it. That peace shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's the peace of the gospel. The peace that we have as we're united to Jesus Christ. That peace, that new life that we have will keep you thinking and living in the right way, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, in the Bible, the heart is generally meant as a comprehensive term for our inner being, what we would include in terms of the mind, the will, the emotions, the conscience. It's that inner side of us. That's the source of all that we see outwardly, is that inward life that we have is lived out and becomes visible to others. The mind would be that source of definite plans, that place where we make decisions, where our imaginations captivate us, when we think through and come up with a decision. God's peace, and in the Hebrew that's shalom, meaning wholeness really, that spiritual wholeness that we have as Christians, will guard the source of who you are, will guard the way you think so that you develop right thinking and right choices. As a result is that as you do this, as you carefully guard what comes in to your mind, as you think on only those things that are lovely and true and of good reputation, your heart and your mind are safeguarded. They're defended more and more. You make progress in the Christian life. You get further down the road. So it gets easier to say no to worry and to turn the matter over to God and prayer all the more. And it will be that your neighbors will worry about the economy and what's going on and what's going to happen in their retirement, their retirement accounts. And you can pray. You can give thanks that the economy is in God's hand, and you can go to sleep and enjoy sleep at night. Because as a child of God, your heart and your mind have been guarded so that worry doesn't come in. It doesn't destroy your sleep. The second promise is found there at the end of verse 9. The God of peace. The God of peace, before it was the peace of God. Now it's the God of peace will be with you. How fantastic a promise is that? Not merely that you'll have God's peace with you, but God Himself will be with you. What greater blessing can you imagine than God Himself being with us? Next Christmas, you have a choice. You can get a package in the mail, an envelope that contains a picture of your loved one, or you can have the loved one come for a visit at Christmas. Which one would you rather have? You'd rather have the presence of that person with you. And here, it's promising that God Himself, the God who gives peace, will be present with us. I can't think of anything better than that. But you might be thinking, isn't God with us at all times? And yes, that's true, but sometimes we don't feel or sense God's presence with us. We don't have the joy that His presence with us should produce in us. And the problem is not that God has disappeared from the world. It's that we are cutting ourselves off from God. And perhaps our wrong thinking, our wrong actions are building a wall. And the promise here is the more you think right, the more you think on the right things, the more you'll be aware of God's presence with you. That presence is always there. You'll feel it. You'll see it. You'll understand it more keenly. There'll be a closeness of God to you because you've been thinking the right ways and haven't been thinking about filth and trash. You filled your mind with what is good. And God will be closer to you. The application is, what will you put in your mind? What will you allow yourself to think about? Now, the standard that we look at these verses is very high. we're to meditate on, we're to prize as valuable, we're to change our conduct by all that's true, by all that merits serious thought, by all that accords with moral purity, by what is beautiful and lovely, by what has genuine worth. And the challenge is throughout the day to be feeding your minds on these things and not trash. Have these things be what you're going to be thinking about, and there'll be other things. You'll have to think about driving home. You'll have to think about what you're going to eat for dinner. But there'll be numerous times during the day when you allow certain things in. There'll be times when you have some free time. What will you do with that time? What will you read? What will you think about? And it tells us those things that are true and honorable and lovely and of good reputation. We're to be pondering, to be thinking, to be filling our minds with those things. And as we do it, we develop a Christian mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would be able to, by your Spirit, follow after these things that we see in your Word, that it be those things that are true and honorable, that are just and pure, that are lovely, that are commendable, of good reputation, of excellence. That those things would be what would occupy us, that we'd be mulling over in our minds, that we'd be thinking through. Help us to do that. Help us to be filling our minds with first and foremost you and your Word, but other things that would fall into those categories. And help us to turn away from allowing in those things that are trash, those things that would be destroying our minds, destroying our spirits, tearing down our hearts. And forgive us for those times when we allow vain thoughts, when we allow ugly thoughts, filthy thoughts to come in and to focus on them rather than upon you. We pray these things in Christ's name.